Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just invite your presence into this place. Lord Jesus, we invite you here today. Father God, we just welcome you. Come into this place. Lord, let your word this morning not only educate us, Lord, but let it transform us. Let it come deep and penetrate our heart and our mind. Come and speak to us this morning. We welcome you. We welcome you. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have, beginning of Lent, we called the church to a season of prayer and fasting. And so for the last few Sundays, we've been looking at prayer and kind of talking about prayer. And there was a journal that we passed out to everybody. I don't know if anyone still needs one. If you do, James will bring them up. Just raise your hand and he'll give you one. The first week we talked about praying for each other. And in our journals we wrote a couple people, names in the church, who to pray for and kind of committed to pray for them over the week. Last week we talked about praying for the church. And so we brought some of the leaders up for the church. They talked about the different ministries that are happening here. And you wrote in your journal what you wanted to pray for in regards to that. And it's been interesting. I've heard a couple of stories of people just seem to be pressing in even more, getting a deeper prayer life through all of this. And I'm encouraged by that. We called the church to prayer because, like I said, coming out of COVID, it just feels like we've been stuck. We had momentum going into COVID, and then COVID hit and just stopped us in our tracks. And so we felt like it would be important just to take the time to pray, to fast, to ask for the Lord's favor, to ask for Him to come and get us unstuck. Charles Spurgeon said, prayer is the slender nerve that moves the omnipotent muscle of God. The omnipotent muscle of God. Prayer causes God to move. We sit there and we go, why is that? Why does that happen? Because it just seems like God can do anything He wants to do. Why does He need us to come and pray? Doesn't He know everything? Isn't He aware of everything that's happening around us? Why do we have to pray? He should know what's going on. But as we look through Scripture, we begin to see this picture of God, this picture of Him wanting to participate, wanting us to participate with Him in the work that He is doing. And prayer is the way that we join in with the Lord, the way we join in with God, the way we participate with Him in what He's doing around the world. And if we only focus our prayers on each other, if we only focus our prayers on the church, we could live very happily in that bubble, right? Just concerned about ourselves, about the church we're a part of, living in that Christian bubble. But the reality is there's a lot of things outside of that bubble that can affect our lives, that can shake things up, things that they don't seem that we have any control over. 2008 for this church was an incredibly hard year. For many people, 2008 was an incredibly hard year. We started out really encouraged, and then we had the shooting on campus. And that took the wind out of us. But that wasn't the only issue. The big issue that happened, if some of you remember, was the housing bubble burst. Prior to 2008, DeKalb County was an up-and-coming county. People were moving out here. It was cheaper to live here than it was in Kane County, so people were commuting into the suburbs to work. In the town I live in Cortland, subdivisions were coming up like crazy. They were popping up all over the place. And then 2008 hit, property values collapsed, and people started moving away in mass. I talk about our neighborhood. There was a season for about 3 or 4 years where we were completely surrounded by abandoned homes. And we lost most of the value of our house during that season. It just disappeared. And within the church, it shook us because as people started leaving the community, they started leaving the church. jobs in DeKalb became hard to find, so people started moving away. And it got to this place where every week a new family would come up to me and say, hey, hate to tell you this, but we're moving. We're moving to a different state. In one case, we're moving to another country because there's work there. And in a 9-month period, we lost 60% of the church to job moves. Totally outside the control of anything we could do. I used to joke about it. It'd be easier if people were mad at us and they were leaving. But instead, the Lord was giving them opportunity elsewhere. And it kind of got this sense of, well, what about us, Lord? Coming at the end of that, our landlord sold off our building, so we lost our building, and it just started this tumble. And all of it was beyond our control. All of it. What do you do about things like that? Things that are outside of your bubble of comfort that all of a sudden come against you and affect you. What do you do? The story of Judea is quite interesting. There's a picture of exile that comes when the Babylonians come to Jerusalem and they take the people into exile. The first group that goes is the leaders, the wise, the young. They take them to Babylon. And they leave pretty much everyone else. And there was this general belief in the land at the time that they were God's chosen people, that this was just some sort of a hiccup, and that they would get to the other side of it, that it would be quite easy to do. But God had a different purpose, and he told the people something that they weren't prepared to hear through the prophet Jeremiah. If you have a Bible, we're going to be popping around. We're starting Jeremiah 29 today. It should be on the screen as well. In verse 4, the Lord tells Jeremiah to tell the leaders of Jerusalem, of Judea, this. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens. Eat what they produce. Marry. Have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. The people of Judea and the people who were taken into exile were looking for hope. Hope that this time of trouble would be coming to an end. Hope that somehow the Lord would come and restore everything that was as in the past. And most of the prophets of the day were prophesying that. Jeremiah 28 has this thing where one of the prophets says that within 2 years, everything that had been taken will be returned. And that is what the people were grabbing onto. That was the hope that they had. But those words were not from God. Verses 8 and 9 say that. Instead of deliverance, God tells them to get settled. Marry. Have children. Settle down. Build houses. Plant gardens. This isn't a picture of deliverance. This is a picture of captivity. This isn't the hope that one day we're going to come back. This is the Lord saying, put down roots. Needless to say, Jeremiah was not a popular prophet. He was not. He's called the weeping prophet. There's a reason for that. Most of his message went to deaf ears. Because Judea had a different idea, and their idea was simple. Get us out of here. Get us out of here. And that's the desire that we have sometimes, right? Get us out of this. Change the situation we're in. It tends to be our preferred type of prayer, right? When things are going wrong, what do you do? Lord, help. Get me out of this. Save me. Deliver me. We look at the background, though, and we understand the situation in Jerusalem. We can understand why the captivity happened, right? There's tremendous sin. There's unfaithfulness. We get that. But in our lives, we sometimes don't understand why these things happen to us, why bad situations keep happening to us, why life becomes uncomfortable. We don't want to settle down. We don't want to plant gardens. We don't want to build houses. We don't want to live in the mess that we're currently in. We want out. In 2009, I remember praying to the Lord, why does everybody else get to leave, but I have to stay? Why? God is telling them to do something a little different. Instead of pulling them out, His desire is to change the environment of the place that they're in. Notice verse 7. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Pray for the place the Lord has taken, that the Lord may bless it, because if it is blessed, you too will be blessed. If it grows, you too will grow. Can you imagine what they thought when they heard that? I don't know about you, but I enjoy World War II, the old World War II movies that came out from the 60s and 70s. And I picture in my mind like Stalag 17 or The Great Escape with Steve McQueen, as they're in a prisoner of war camp, and their one job that they're told that they have is to make as much chaos for the enemy while they're in that prisoner of war camp as they can. Do not help, do not participate, just cause problems. Make things difficult for your captors. That's the mindset. But God is telling them here something different. Pray for your captors. Pray that things go well for them. It must have blown their mind. Why in the world would we do that? Why in the world would we pray for people who are trying to do everything they can to destroy what we have? It must have blown their minds. But here's the thing. We find ourselves in the same place. We find ourselves sometimes in situations where we go, why should I be praying for that? And when we start looking at praying for the situations we're in, for our city, for our leaders, our minds tend to go national. We look at a verse like that and we think, okay, we need to pray for our national leaders, for our president, our congressmen, our senators, all that. And that's great. You should do that. Don't get me wrong. But notice what Jeremiah doesn't say here. He doesn't say, pray for Nebuchadnezzar. That's not in this verse. He doesn't tell them, pray for Nebuchadnezzar, the leader of Babylon. Instead, he says, pray for the city that I have carried you to. The call here is local. It's local. We're called to pray for the place we live, for the city we're in. Local politics is a totally different animal than national politics in many ways. And most of us ignore local politics until it actually affects us or we complain about it. I love the town I live in Cortland. It's like Mayberry. All right, we have like 4 police officers, you know. At one time, our mayor was the barber in town. I mean, it's Mayberry. And we have a Facebook page that just I enjoy. It's like entertainment. It's like when all the rednecks get together on one page, they're there. And so I'm on a fast. I fasted social media, but prior to my fast, the big thing that was coming across the Cortland page was some kid in a Dodge Charger, I think it was, late at night, was gunning his engine up and down the streets. And so, isn't somebody going to do something about that? Do you know who that is? Where are the cops? oh, the cops aren't here at night because they only work during the days, it's the county, blah, 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 blah. That's what it is. If it's not that, then it's usually somebody did something. You know, you in that blue car, you're driving too fast down the road. Or my favorite, why haven't they built an Olive Garden in Cortland yet? That comes up about every 4 months. And it's like, well, I can tell you why they haven't built an Olive Garden in Cortland. You know, it's just me. But that's how we tend to look at our city, our local place, right? We ignore it until something frustrates us, and then we just complain. But the Lord is calling us to do something different. He's saying we should pray for the place we live, because if it's blessed, we'll be blessed. If it prospers, we'll prosper. 2008 was a very difficult year. Surprisingly, currently in DeKalb, things are shifting. I don't know if you've been by the interstate, but all of a sudden all these new businesses are popping up. Once a month, all the pastors in town, all the evangelicals pastors in town, get together for breakfast, and we like to invite people every now and then to come and speak to us. And we had the mayor come about a year and a half, 2 years ago, as this construction was starting up, and we were talking to him about it. And he was really excited. And he said, what you guys don't understand is we haven't had any new housing starts in DeKalb in about 8 years. 8 to 10 years. They haven't broken ground. We've sold houses. People have come and gone, but nothing. He goes, they're just starting to build those apartments, and those apartments are geared for these businesses that are coming in, and we're anticipating new housing starts to start in the next 12 to 18 months. Out in Cortland, one of the dead subdivisions all of a sudden is breaking ground. And houses are popping up again. From a pastoral and a church perspective, pastoring a city that's in decline is hard. Pastoring a city that is growing is hopeful. As the water rises, all boats rise. As our city is blessed, opportunities come out for us to do more. As new people move into town, opportunities for outreach and evangelism increase. As our city is blessed, we too become blessed. But sometimes, because it's so local, we get hung up. I mean, the reality of local politics, it's who you know. I mean, John and I have a great, you know, the water main broke. And we tried to find people that we didn't know, who we needed to know to get stuff to move. And it was difficult. It was difficult. It's sometimes who you know. And because of that, we struggle with it. Because we don't know how to influence those decision makers. They feel like they're out of grasp for us. Like we can't somehow change things. I joke, you want to meet the movers and shakers of DeKalb County, show up at the Lincoln Inn on Wednesdays in the morning. There's a big round table, and half the developers sit there and chat. How do we get into that table? How do we get invited to the table? Well, we normally don't, but I know someone who can influence those decision makers. Proverbs 21:1 says this, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." God can change the heart of a king or a mayor or a developer or a local politician of some sort any way he wants. It's our responsibility as the local church to be praying for those local communities for the Lord to come and move their hearts. Because of that, we should be in the know of what's going on. Otherwise, we don't know how to pray. I subscribe to the Daily Chronicle, okay? It's not the greatest newspaper in the world. But at least I know what's happening in town so that I know how to pray for the community I live in. Let me ask you this. How many know who the mayor of your town is? Two Cortland people know who the mayor of their town is. Here's a hint, he's not the barber anymore. How many know who your alderman is if you're in DeKalb? I know who the alderman of this area is. John and I met with him, or John met with him on the phone. How many know who your county trustee is? You have no idea how much sway in this county a trustee has until you live in Cortland and they put a mega dump in your backyard. How many know who's on the school board in your neighborhood, especially if you have kids in the school? We don't. The election's coming up. We're going to look at the local politicians, and 9 times out of 10, it's like, well, that sounds like a good name. We don't. We need to learn who these people are, so that they are in our prayers. And there's a big reason for this. You see, sometimes we get confused on what's happening around us. We think that everything is about politics. We take sides. There's the good guys who think like us and the bad guys who don't. And we think that those who don't agree with us have some kind of sinister plan going on. Honestly, I think we watch way too much TV or YouTube or social media, because most of the people who go into local politics, most of the people who are leaders in our community, they got into it for noble reasons. I have two friends that I went to school with that ended up in politics. One, for a season of time when he lived in Cortland, was a trustee, a town trustee for Cortland. Another one ran to be the district attorney in McHenry County. Their motivation to get into it is they saw an issue and they thought that they could help. That's why they ran. It wasn't because they had some sinister plan. They wanted to do good. The challenge, though, is that when someone goes into a leadership position at that level, they bring attention to themselves, and they can be manipulated by a greater force than them. Ephesians 6:12 paints that picture. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We read this, we think personally. That's why I'm having spiritual attacks. That's why my life is difficult. But this stuff is more about communities. Bad things happen when poor decisions are made. Terrible things happen when poor decisions are made. Somebody made a decision to put a school across the street from the dump in Cortland. Looking back, it wasn't the brightest of an idea. When the shooting happened at NIU, you know, most of us look at NIU as something that happens over there. There. But when it happened, if you were here, it was something that happened to all of us. The reality is that our battles are not with individuals, not with politicians, not about corruption, but with the plans of the enemy. When we're praying for our cities and our towns, for our local leaders, we're fighting spiritual warfare against the plans that the enemy has for our community. Instead of allowing the enemy to do that, we're asking God to release His plans, to release His kingdom, to release His blessings on the community. So how do we do it? How do we do it? Well, 2 Chronicles has an interesting blurb in it. 2 Chronicles 2, 17, 14 says this. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. An argument can be made, and I would agree wholeheartedly with it, that this verse is really geared for Israel, for the breaking of the covenant. I sometimes think we put way too much beyond that. But there's something here I want you to consider. Matthew 6, Jesus teaches us how to pray. Verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive, oops, too far. My bad. If we pray a prayer with our city in mind like that, it begins to sound a little bit like 2 Corinthians. Think about that. Lord, you are holy. You deserve our worship. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here in DeKalb. As it is in heaven, let it be here in DeKalb. Lord, give our city today the provisions that we need. Bless it. Forgive our shortcomings as we forgive those who've sinned against us. And Lord, lead our leaders not into temptation, but deliver them from the evil one. Give them wisdom, give them discernment, and let your will be done in this place. That's how you pray for your city. As it is in heaven, Lord, let it be here. So as you go today, grab your journal. Here's your homework. Who's your mayor? You know it? I know my mayor. I've met my mayor. What is his name? Mark. Yeah, Mark. The mayor here he's running for state senator now. You'll see his signs all over town. Who's the mayor of Sycamore? Who lives in Sycamore? You know your mayors? Okay, find out. Find their name. Write it down. Pray for your mayor. If you live in a larger city, like DeKalb or Sycamore, who's your alderman? Or Belvedere, who's your alderman? Pray for them. We when we first got married, we lived in Chicago for a year. You'd be surprised how much authority and power your alderman has in the city of Chicago. Who's your county representative? What district are you in the county of DeKalb? If you don't know the answers, write these down and put a blank next to it to fill it out. Who are other local leaders that are important? If you're out in the country and not in town, who's your town township guys, director, president? Who does the road in front of your house? Find out who they are and add them to the prayer list that you've been developing. And then this week, as you pray for the people that you listed, as you pray for the church, now pray for the city that you live in. Add that to your prayer. And pray like the Lord's Prayer. Lord, let your will be done in DeKalb, in Cortland, in Sycamore, in Belvedere, in Genoa. Let your will be done here, as it is in heaven, where there's justice, where there's glory, where there's blessings. Let them come down here to earth. Lord, give our city everything it needs to prosper. Give it the wisdom it needs. Give it everything. Lord, forgive us for when we've messed up as a city. And Lord, keep our leaders far from the evil one. Give them heavenly wisdom. If you do that, if we do that, we'll begin to see the atmosphere change around us. We'll begin to see the atmosphere change in the city we're in. And once again, you don't need to go pounding on doors and telling people you're doing this. You don't need to, like, you know, post it on Facebook that we're praying against the darkness that's coming over. You don't need to do any of that. And, oh, one last thing. Pray for the leaders, not against them. The Lord doesn't say pray against the leaders that you may be blessed. He says pray for the place that it may be blessed. If we do that, our community will become a place that we really, really want to be a part of. Amen? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we know that you are at work, that you are continually at work, even in the community that we live in. Even when we can't see you working, we know that you are at work. So Lord, we cry out to you right now for Northern DeKalb County. I cry out to you for DeKalb, for Sycamore, for Cortland, for Malta, for Genoa, for Kingston, for Kirkland. Lord, let your kingdom come in this place. Lord, we cry out for Waterman, for Shabona, or Shabana, for Hinckley, for Sandwich, for Salmonok, for Clare, for half of Maple Park. Let your kingdom come, Lord. Let your will be done in this place. As it is in heaven, let it be here on earth. And Lord, we pray for the leaders of this county. Lord, give them wisdom, give them discernment. Lord, bless this place. Bless this community. Lord, keep us far, far from the work of the evil one. We have seen the evil one work in this community. Lord, keep him far from us. Deliver us from evil. Just be with us, Lord. We thank you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Normally we do ministry time right now, but last few weeks we've kind of shifted it a little bit. So we're going to do something a little different today. I want you to find a couple of people nearby you. Two or three people. Just